we find ourselves traveling in this nation, Lord, we can come and gather a group of apostolics, a church who just knows how to love on the Lord, to take time out of our schedules to come and to worship Him, to be in His presence. I am an old age of 32 years old. Say, well, come on now. Is that really true? And I said, yes, it is true. The lifestyle that we live, in the surroundings that we live, in the lands that we spend most of our time in, every move I make, I'm asking the Lord, is this what I need to do? Is this where I need to go? And so, with that comes a constant daily relationship. I find out that I just find myself taking a lot more than I can possibly give. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to be in His presence tonight, to be worshiping with an awesome church here in Cleveland. I'm so grateful for you all gathering here and worshiping the King of Kings. There is no God like our God. Amen. I have stood in the midst of mosques and believers of Islam. I have watched as they have sought the face of their God with no response. And I have walked through villages dedicated to the gods of Hinduism. Seen their dedication despite never hearing the voice of God or feeling Him or knowing the plans that their gods have for them. Yet I can come here, or I can go into my prayer closet, and I can cry out the name of Jesus, not with fancy words, and I know that He hears me, and I know that He responds, and that He moves on my behalf. If I am sick, He heals my body. If I feel like I need freedom, He delivers me. And boy, did He save my soul. I am a lover of God's presence. And it is a privilege to be here. I give honor to your pastor. Thank you, sir, to your family. Thank you for allowing us to be here. My wife and daughter send their hugs and hellos. They are not feeling good tonight, but we're praying for speedy recovery. We are your associate missionaries to the nation of Bangladesh. By a show of hands, if you know on a map where the nation of Bangladesh is, raise your hand. There's a few people that will Google it before we get here. Oh, there you go. Come on, I saw you back there, brother. And this is a common response. So if you were to look at a map, you would see big old India. And right next to India, to the east, you'll have Bangladesh kind of just connected to it in the Bay of Bengal. It is a small nation, a little bit bigger than Iowa. But it is packed with 174 million people. We don't go sideways, we go up. The buildings go up. And so it is the nation of our calling. And it is home to us. Many of us can identify home. I was born in California, but I'm from Tennessee, is where we base out of right now. But I consider that my home. And I'm so grateful for the call of God on our life to that nation. And we'll share a little bit about it here in the next few moments. But I want to invite you to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 3. We'll start there. I do have a small table set up in the back with some things that we are selling to help us get home. Feel free to stop by and talk with me there. I'm by myself. Usually my wife is running that. But please stop by. We have several things you can take with you, as well as PIM cards. We're about 6 partners away from being done, and this is our last week of deputation, and we fly out the 18th of March. So we are in a race to finish those last 6 partners. So if you feel the Lord leading you to partner with us to help us for the next year of our lives to be able to live and to do what you're about to see, please stop by or talk to your pastor. Stop by and talk to me as well. Book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsy and that were lame were healed. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. Verse 26 says, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Amen. For the next few moments here, I want to speak on this subject, one of the million. One of the million. As you set your Bibles down, amen, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to touch our minds and our hearts. Amen. I am in Bangladesh. We have been molded to become people and to be people of revival. And so I believe if we can have expectation and allow faith to grow in this room in the next few minutes as the word goes forth, I believe that when the time comes, and as I open up this altar, if you have a need in your body and you need healing, our God is a healer. If you feel like you need to break free of some things, whether mentally, emotionally, spiritually, amen, I believe God is a deliverer. Not been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing like it. Boy, have I got stories of people who have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, whose lives have been forever changed. And I believe that's going to take place in the few minutes. So we're going to ask the Lord to touch our hearts, our minds, and our ears so that we can grow in faith and expectation and see a mighty move of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today, God. We give you glory and honor in this house, Lord. We have lifted up your name. We have sung about your love, Lord. But right now, God, we open our hearts to receive your word, God. I pray that each of us could be good ground in this moment, Lord, for whatever your spirit is speaking to this church, God. Lord, that your word would go forth, Lord, into every heart and every mind, God. That it would break, God, those things that need to be broken. That it would heal those things that need to be healed, Lord. I believe you're going to heal in this place, Lord. I believe that you're going to give clarity where clarity is needed. I believe that you will move in this house according to your will, Jesus. We receive every good gift that you have for us today, Lord. In the precious, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. You may be seated where you're at. Amen. In our opening text here, we find the church scattered by the death of Stephen and the rise of Saul and the wave of persecution. But in the midst of what we are reading here, we find the believers of the church scattered and preaching. The message that they carried was a message of truth, and it was a message of power. And so that remains the same here in 2025, whether we are here in the United States or in Central South America or in Asia, wherever we find ourselves, this message that we carry, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is still changing lives. And so in the face of danger and even of death, they continue to preach. And it is a trait that continues here in 2025 by many across the globe who find themselves in nations or in areas of great persecution. The truth is, church, that the message had to get out. It is with my own eyes that I have witnessed the goodness of God change somebody's life, and I have watched that person become radically transformed as somebody who just wants to tell somebody else about the goodness of God. The Holy Ghost had fallen, and they received power to be witnesses. I have done a lot of things. I have seen many things. But at the end of the day, I am just being a witness of the goodness of God. Anything that I can do is because I have seen the goodness of God in my own life and in the lives of others. And so for the second time within Scripture, we're introduced to Philip. And he finds himself in Samaria now. And for those who have studied the subject, Samaria is not the place you want it to be. I'm sure that if I were to interview many of you in this house and I were to say, what's one place you don't want to go? Many of you guys would say it. Then you would tell me. Well, in this case, Samaria was that place. It was an area and a people group that was despised. They were hated. They were avoided by the Jews of that time. And so We find Philip filled with the Holy Ghost, and he understands the message that is the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. He understands his mission, and he goes and he begins to minister in the area where nobody else wanted to go. I wish today that each and every member of God's body will remember the church's mission, whether it is your home, whether it is your neighborhood, your community, this church, or in a town or in a region, somewhere else around the world. Our goal is always to preach the gospel. Wherever we go, there is a world that is relying on each and every one of us to tell the story and to be a witness of the goodness of God. Philip did not allow persecution to get in his way. So what is our excuse today? He did not allow what he was told about that group of people to get in his way. He did not allow his emotions or his flesh to get in his way. There was a mission, and so he took it upon himself to do that. And so we find these great words, some of my favorite words, and I've got like a bunch of different sermons around this story, but the great words that were given was, and there was great joy in that city. If there is anything that I do in the kingdom, I want it to be said, not for my glory, but for the glory of God, that there was great joy in that city, in that home, in that family, in that community, in that region, in that mission field, in that Bible study, in that prayer group, in that week of fasting. I want there to be great joy in that city. On our very first trip to the nation of Bangladesh, our supervising missionaries, James and Elizabeth Corbin, poured out their burden for that nation. They have been serving there for about 35, 36 years, and they shared with us the word of God that went forth for that nation. Years ago, the Lord gave a promise to them and to the nation of Bangladesh that they would see a million soul revival in the nation of Bangladesh. And so it was spoken, and they immediately begin to go to work. They begin to go and to do all that the Lord had called them to do. And since that word has gone forth, God has moved in a mighty way each and every year. We have crusades that happen where thousands upon thousands are receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and hundreds are healed, and many are baptized. They experience Pentecost in so many areas of Bangladesh. Miracle signs and wonders all over the country to the likes that you probably found yourself reading about. God has continued to show us that the promise is in process. And each and every week it is happening. Even so, last week 100-something souls were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and many were healed in the name of Jesus. We are seeing the million soul revival. And so while I can't show you all of what we've done, I can show you a little bit of what God has done. And so as my brothers would play that video, if it's working, you guys will get a glimpse at what the Lord has been able to do the last year of our lives. Let's give them a minute. Amen. We give God all the glory and the honor. A short glimpse into what the Lord is doing. But over the last year of our lives, we have been able to see 10 Bible school graduates come out of our Bible school there. We've planted churches. We've built church buildings. We've seen hundreds healed in the name of Jesus. We've baptized hundreds upon hundreds of people in the name of Jesus Christ. And we've seen 1,000 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Church, Bangladesh may be a Muslim majority nation, amen, but we are seeing a revival to the likes of perhaps no other Muslim nation is seeing. We are extremely grateful at what the Lord is doing in the nation of Bangladesh. He is working towards that million soul revival that I talk about. And so then why today do I say one of the million? Why is it when I can talk about crusades where thousands and thousands are being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, or programs where we see hundreds upon hundreds baptized in one evening, why then tonight do I say one of the million? You see, while there was great joy in the city of Samaria and in the area of Samaria for Philip, we see the hand of God move in a mighty way that if we are not careful as the church who is destined to see revivals of great proportion in the last days, we will miss what God is trying to do in our very midst and what I believe he is speaking to the body all over. You see, in the midst of the height of revival in Samaria, the Lord begins to speak to Philip. And he stops him and he says, Philip, I want you to get up and I want you to go and I want you to start walking that desert road. Had Philip not been, amen, mature in his walk with God, had he not been honed in into the voice of God in his life, he would have missed something that God was wanting to do. At the height of revival, pastor, imagine this building being full and you're in a project and you're doing all these things to expand. Your families are being saved. Your community is growing. Daughter works. Imagine at the height of that revival that the Lord would come to you and say, I want you to get up and I want you to go walk on that desert road. I just want you to be obedient. Had Philip not been who he needed to be in God, he would have missed what God was calling him to do. God called them to the desert road, but on that desert road was a man that Philip was destined to meet. And this man was reading the scriptures and he did not understand. And so the Lord would begin to speak to Philip and Philip would get close and begin to listen and to hear and ultimately begin to give a Bible study, you can say, to this man. He was removed from the large crowds of hundreds and of thousands for one man on a desert road. But I am so grateful that we find this example in the early stages of the church where God will show his people about how much he cares about one person. If you have ever thought today that the Lord's eyes are not upon you, that he doesn't hear your prayers, that he doesn't care about your situation, that he does not see your suffering, that he does not know your questions or your doubts, I have come with the prime example of what God will do when he knows there's a great revival amongst the thousands and say, but there is one man on a desert road. Be encouraged today, church, that the Most High God may be doing mighty things across the sea or across this nation, but at the same time he is watching you where you're at, and he knows when you feel like you don't have the strength to continue on or to get up or even just to believe on him and say, God, I trust you for this day. God knows where we are at. He was removed from the crowds for just one person. God said, I need you to be the man of God who is willing to be mature enough to say that revival is revival, whether it is of the thousands or the millions or if it is of one. We may all not get to see a revival of the thousands of thousands. I talk about the crusades, but me and my wife have always found ourselves leaving the nation every time a crusade happens because our term ends. And when we get close to seeing one of them, we get pulled out. Because we have to go or we have to do something else. I talk about them. I talk about how goodness of God, how 3 days, 11,000 people received the Holy Ghost at the last crusade in Bangladesh. But I could also talk about the moments where it was just a Bible study, or those moments where I was just talking to a man in an elevator and he said, "Will you pray for me?" It's those moments where I have witnessed the hand of God do a mighty work far greater than what I perhaps thought I needed to experience at a crusade. Because Philip was able to say, "That's all right, there's a revival here. But God is calling me here." And I believe today, church, that there are some of us in this church building that God is really trying to pull you in. It may not be in the same situation or in the same sense of you going out to a desert road, but as long as God is trying to call you today, I would encourage you to see what happens when you answer. When you finally surrender and you say, "God, I've got more mess ups than I've got fix ups. And I need you to be what you would be surprised about what God can do." And so that one man on the road just happened to be an Ethiopian man that Philip was ministering to. And this is the first evidence that we see somebody from that region of the world come to Christ. Philip could have said, "I have thousands and thousands in Samaria. I will not go to that desert road for that one." He could have come up with so many excuses and said no, but he was obedient. And because of that, we see the gospel finally enters into the area of the uttermost. You see Jerusalem, you see Judea, and you see Samaria. Those are regions. But Philip being obedient to the voice of God for that one person, that one person who was by himself, didn't have a teacher, didn't have a preacher, that one person who had more questions than he had answers, Philip answers the call of God. And because of that, we see the promise of the uttermost everywhere else. And now Ethiopia stands as a Christian nation, and we read about the revivals of thousands. And even this past week, a crusade was happening under Brother Robinette there in Ethiopia because of the obedience of Philip. We see a great revival. Today I would encourage you, church body, do that Bible study. Be here for that prayer night. Do that week of fasting. Get involved in that group study of the Bible. Get involved in your reading plan for the year. Get involved in what is happening. Because when you think it is not important, and when you think it will not change somebody's lives or your own life, God will show you what he can do. I think of the million soul revival in the nation of Bangladesh. I think of the ones of the million. My friend can show that first picture that he has there with him. I think of many things when I think about this million soul revival. And there are many moments that you saw in that video where God did some mighty things. But when I think about the million soul revival and I think about the ones of the million, I think about Don Bosco. Our very first week in 2023 when we arrived to Bangladesh, Don Bosco had arrived the same week to our Capital District Church. You see, Don Bosco was on his path to be a Catholic priest. But ultimately he fell in love and could not ignore his love for his now wife. And so he was excommunicated and he was kicked out, and his community kind of shut the doors on him. And so he was alone without a place to serve. And somehow he had come upon our live stream, and he heard about baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And he picked up the phone and he called our main office and he said, "If I come, will you teach me a Bible study?" And they said, "Yes, come on." And so Don Bosco paid for a bus ticket, and he made his way from the district Colna, 6 hours away, to the district of Dhaka. And he sat down on a Friday night with a couple of the ministers the same week, our first week in Bangladesh. And as they began to sit down with him over that coffee table, they gave him a Bible study. And at the end of it, they asked him, and he said with all the enthusiasm in the world, he said, "I need to be baptized in Jesus' name." He said, "I have never heard of it like this, and I feel like my eyes have just been opened about the power that is behind this process." And so the next day, he was there visiting the compound of the Bible school, and he said, "I would like another Bible study. I'm here, might as well." And so my translator friend, a young minister by the name of Brother Schimmel, said, I'll give you a Bible study on the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they sat down in that living room and they began to talk about the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that man said, I have never heard anything like this in all my years of study. He says, this is a different perspective for me. He said, if what you have just read me is true, then can we need to pray right now because I want to receive what I just read about. And in that little living room over that coffee table, they begin to lift their hands. And in a matter of a few moments, God filled them with the gift of the Holy Ghost right there in that living room. I don't think about the millions and the thousands of the million church body. I think about a man who was abandoned by his community, a man who was cut off from all of his friends and from all of his people, the church that he was with. I think about a man who was hungry for God, even despite what other people had labeled him and said of him. And when he said, I need to know more of what I'm reading and what I'm hearing about, and he lifts up his hands and God meets him right where he's at. I'm going to show that next picture, my friend. And so he arrived to the church there on Sunday and he was baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. I would like to think about the revivals of the hundreds and of the thousands, but I fix my eyes on the ones of the million, like Don Bosco, who said, God saw me. He saw me where I was at. He did not leave me. He did not abandon me. He heard my cry. When I think of the ones of the million, you can show that next picture, I think of Brother Prodip. I met Brother Prodip at Bible school. He was a young student from this village, a neighboring village of the Hindu village. And he decided to come to the Bible school upon an invitation from Bishop Corbin. He was filled with the Holy Ghost in the classroom one day at Bible school, and he was shortly baptized after. God is doing mighty things. And so I was invited to do a baptismal program in his village here. We don't have a church. And so we gathered under a mango tree, as you can see. This was about the beginning. Give it another 15, 20 minutes. There was more people that way, and there was about 250 all around. They were hungry. For the first time with my own eyes, I watched men stop working during the harvest season so that they could hear the gospel preached. This is an agricultural country. You don't do the harvest, you don't eat. You don't do the harvest, you don't get paid. You don't get paid, you don't eat. And it's very easy to die of starvation here. And so we begin to preach, and as we begin to teach on baptism, and I finish under this mango tree where we were having church, I asked, is there anybody here who wishes to be baptized after what you have just heard? And about 107 people were baptized that day. Actually, just last Sunday, we were preaching and we were able to raise the funds to be able to build the church right here. They will no longer have mango services under a mango tree, but they will have their very own building sometime this next year. But you know, I don't think of the 107 people that were baptized that day, Pastor. I think of one person. You can show that next picture. See, that Bible school student, Brother Prodip, was there that day, and he had been out of school since he had graduated for about 3 months. And I saw him, and he introduced me to his family and to his friends, and we began to walk. And I said, Brother Prodip, there's purpose within you. Brother Prodip, God has called you. Brother Prodip, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Do not forget everything that God has taught in you, that he has showed you, and what he showed you can do. One day we were sitting in class, and my interpreter had a horrible migraine. But he knew he had to interpret, and they don't come up with excuses for work there. They want to get paid. And so he kept worrying. I said, Brother Schimmel, you said you have a very bad headache. And he said, we're going to do something. I said, are there any students here that believe Jesus healed? And they all raised their hand. Yeah, yeah. And I said, who's going to come lay hands on him and pray and watch God heal them? Nobody raised their hand except for Brother Prodip. I said, come on, Brother Prodip. I said, you're going to lay hands. He was scared. He was terrified. I said, don't be scared. I said, lay your hands on his forehead. And I said, we're going to begin to pray. Brother Prodip prayed in the name of Jesus. And I said, all right, go sit down. And I looked at my interpreter. I said, the moment that headache, that migraine goes away, I said, you let me know. We continued teaching for about 2 minutes. And he said, all right, I got to let you know. I said, my headache's going away. Brother Prodip, his mind was blown. He had never seen a display of God's power that way. And I said, Brother Potip, what are you feeling? And he says, I don't know. I said, I feel like there's just an immense heat that is just coming into me right now. He was in shock the whole time since he had laid hands until then. He was just in shock. And I said, we're going to cut this class. I said, lift your hands. And the Holy Ghost moved in a mighty way. And so I said, I'm in this village. I said, Brother Potip, I said, what are we going to do? And he said, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, you're going to stand here at the end of the bank of the pond. And I said, you're going to start praying for people as they come out and as they're being baptized. And so as they're baptizing him, he's coming in. Brother Protip's praying for them to receive the Holy Ghost. I look over at Brother Protip after quite a few people have been baptized. But this time, Brother Protip is crying. And I said to my interpreter, I said, what's going on? And we go up to him, and Brother Protip says, that man that right there that's coming out of that water, he says, that man that's coming out is my daddy. And he says, he has been not too sure about my journey and me about becoming a Christian preacher. And he said, but he's coming, and there he is, and he's being baptized in the name of Jesus. And I said, Brother Protip, I said, you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, I want you to lay hands on your daddy, and I want you to pray for him. And in that day, Brother Protip saw the promise of God. Amen. He might have been the only representative from his family who decided to believe on Jesus, but that day he saw his daddy baptized, and he prayed for him that day. When I think of the million souls revival, I don't think about all those that were baptized that day. I think about Brother Protip and the reminder that he shares. As my pianist comes and we come to a close here tonight, I want to share one more story. You can show that next picture. I spoke at the beginning of this that if you have expectation and some faith that God is going to move, and so I encourage you, continue to believe. The last person that I think of today is Brother Sammy. Brother Sammy is a special person. When we arrived in 2021, Brother Sammy was the first person that we gave a Bible study to. His girlfriend there, Diana, standing with my wife. I received a phone call our very first week there, and they said, Brother Garcia, we have a Bible study for you. Would you want to take it? I said, yes. And my supervising missionary said, hold up, there's a different story here. And he began to tell me. He said, the young man, Sammy, that you're going to give a Bible study to has a different story. He said, Sammy is a devout Muslim from a very wealthy and very prominent family within the Muslim community, within the nation of Bangladesh. He said, they own very many textiles. They own lots of businesses, extremely wealthy, and pillars of the Islamic community there in Dhaka. Sammy decided in his 18 years that he would revisit the Christian scriptures of the Holy Bible. And as he began to study for the second time, he found himself just, something was clicking this time. You see, in his youth, they read the Bible. Muslims are not afraid to give their children Christian scriptures. I actually have a Muslim Bible with me. They're not afraid. Most of their young adolescents know the Christian scriptures better than the average Christian adult. And so he was visiting it for the second time, but this time the wheels are starting to click. He's saying, I said, Jesus is a prophet within Islam, but for some reason I'm understanding the Gospels. He said, I'm understanding the Injil with a different light to where it's showing Jesus as being more than a prophet. And ultimately, finally, one day in his studies, he closes his Bible. And there in the midst of his household, he stands up and he says, as of this day, I will no longer be a follower of Muhammad and the teachings of the Quran. This day, I decide to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, had I been there, I would have been running whatever aisles they had in that house. I would have been celebrating, high-fiving everybody. I would have given me a trumpet. We would have been playing a piano, something. I would have been celebrating with my new brother, his newfound revelation and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, I would have been running the aisles, but I wasn't there. You know who was there? His family. You know what his family did? They threw him out. They threw him out and they cut him off from every cent his family had for him. He was the firstborn, which means he inherited the whole empire. Immediately cut off, immediately thrown out, abandoned by his Muslim community, abandoned by his family, thrown in homeless, penniless, all alone in the streets. That is the price that some pay to do what we're here doing. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but that's the price that some of our brothers pay, and that's the price that Sammy paid. And so wandering the streets, Brother Sammy found himself at another denominational church, and he told them how he believed in Jesus, and so they trusted him just enough to let him in, and eventually they baptized him according to their way, and they allowed him to attend church there, and they said, "You're homeless, so we'll let you sleep on the church pews. You'll have a home now." Fast forward some time, he's studying, he's learning, but he feels like something is missing. He goes and he asks them, and they say, "You just keep studying, keep reading." So he opens his Bible again one day, and he opens up to the book of Acts. And he gets to the end of chapter 2, and he says, "This is something different." He runs to the pastor of the church, and he says, "What's happening here?" He says, "This is for us." And they looked at him and said, "Don't worry about that, that's not for you." He says, "You just go and pray, that's not for you." He went to his bed, which was the pew of the sanctuary, and he sat down, heartbroken. And he said, "God, when I was a Muslim, we criticized the Christians because of their contradictions within their scriptures that we believe we have. And I said, if this, what's happening in Acts 2:38 that says it's for me and for my children, if this is not for me, this is only for a select few person, then this is a lie, and this is a congregation, and if this is a lie, a contradiction, sorry, and if this is a lie, then I'm better off in Islam. At least I didn't have any of those there." That was his conclusion. And so one night he was restless in his bed, and he sat there, and he stood up, and he said, "God," and I say bed, but I meant pew. He sat up, and he said, "God," he says, "either this promise is for me, I feel like I'm missing something, and your Bible says this is for me. If it's for me, fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so right there at 3 o'clock in the morning, all alone on that church pew, that young Muslim convert lifted up his hands and he said, "Jesus, I receive your spirit." And God met him right there, all alone, without a preacher, without a teacher, without community, without anybody. God said, "I will give you the promise that is for you and for your children and for all who ask for it and desire it." God proved himself to that young Muslim man. The promise was for him. Why don't we stand in this house? When I think of the Million Soul Revival, I think of Brother Sammy. Show that last picture, my friend. Now Brother Sammy travels all over the nation as he's invited, teaching about the goodness of Jesus. He lays hands on the sick pastor and the sick recover. He lays hands on the captives and demons are kind of casted out. He is baptized and he is praying for the Holy Ghost. He is doing, amen, what he wanted to see done in his own life, because there was somebody that was willing to teach him. We met with him for our Bible study and we taught him. We began to show him what God was doing in his life, and shortly after we left, he was baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now he's doing a mighty work for the kingdom of God. When I think about the Million Soul Revival Church, I think about Brother Sammy. And so why do I share these stories today? I'm talking about a revival, a promise that was given to Bangladesh about a Million Soul Revival. I'm talking about individuals. Why am I talking about that today? It's because I have spent this last quite a few months of my life going from one side of this nation to the other side, and I find myself preaching and I find myself seeing the same promise that was given to my friend and to those in Bangladesh, to the people here, and to the people south of us and north of us and east and west. "In the last days, saith the Lord, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh." I've come today to encourage this church body and to say that perhaps you're one of the million. Perhaps, just maybe, God is drawing you in. Or perhaps today, ones of the millions around you. Perhaps God's equipped you tonight and throughout your life to be a voice for those people around you who have yet to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, who have yet to receive or to experience the power of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have been told that you'll amount to nothing more. Perhaps you've told yourself, I can't do anything for God. Look what I've done with my own life. Perhaps you have disqualified yourself, or the enemy has told you, you'll never break free from that. You'll always be that same man. You'll always be that same woman. You'll never be able to be used for God. I'm so grateful today that we have a holy book that comes with examples of people who God said, watch me do a mighty work in their life. Watch me see what I can do with this man. And when I lift him up with my name on his lips, watch what I can do in a place where nobody said it could happen, like Samaria. So here's what I want to do. For the next few moments, I want to open up this altar call. We're about to sing. If you feel like been tugging at your heart, I want you to come. If you feel like he has it, I want you to come. If you need healing in your body today, and you would like prayer, we'll lay hands. God's a healer. If you need clarity in your walk with God, if you feel like you're in a place where you really need to make yourself available, I invite you to this front. If you've not been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you feel like you've just got chains on you that you have not been able to break, that you feel like you're just in a routine and you just feel like you cannot break free from it, I invite you to this morning. We're going to pray. And God's going to do the work. So as they sing, if you feel led of God, if you don't feel it, if you don't believe it can happen, by all means, stay in the seat tonight. But if you feel like God is tugging at your heart and he's been talking to you these last few moments, these last few days, these last few weeks of your life, I want you to come. And I just want you to begin to talk to Jesus. I just want you to begin to talk to him and begin to say, God, here's what I got. God, here's what I am. Here's what I've been. But you know what?